today is a day that Chris was put on this earth for. How you doing, sir?
Hey, Bill, how are you?
I am very good. Tell me what happened with the Raiders, with Gruden, Mayock, and running off all their scouts about a week before the draft. What happened?
Well, I think there's been some it's been coming for a while. It's been an issue. Obviously, Mayock is coming from the outside. He's never coached or scouted. You've got a dozen or so Raider scouts, actually 13, that have been around a while. That's actually done a good job. If you look at the Raiders roster back a few years ago, they had a pretty good roster, a playoff looking roster, and then Gruden came in and last year started to send guys like Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper away. And I think what happened was, and I went into detail. It is, I think, a good lesson in the Landry Football Podcast earlier this week that I kind of go into detail. I'll give you the thumbnail sketch that basically I think that the scouts really did not have a lot of respect for Mayock. And I think Mack was kind of exposed in some of the draft meetings. You know, it's a big difference between being on TV and talking about players when you're gathering information from scouts. It's a lot different than having to unearth players and being able to evaluate and, be able to write a report on a player. You got to really – that exposes people who just are, casual viewers of the game versus people who are, trained as scouts. And I think that just came to a head. And I think that I think you're dealing with an insecure GM and to some degree an insecure head coach that they're doing their own thing. And my concern for them is, I don't expect them to screw up this draft because I think they got too many picks and too many opportunities to get impact starting players for them. But I worry a little bit for them when it comes to late rounds and undrafted free agency. People don't understand that. It's a lot different than recruiting classes. It's a completely different dynamic. 31% of your NFL roster is undrafted free agent signings because it's just pure numbers. You know, you're not recruiting guys. You're having to draft and wait and draft and wait and draft and wait. You know, that's where you find the Phillip Lindsay's, who's an undrafted free agent that goes on to be in the Pro Bowl last year. Are they going to be prepared for that? Who's going to be signing these guys, be on the phone with these undrafted free agent candidates in the seventh round as the draft is coming to its conclusion? Hopefully they've got a plan, but I think it's just it's as simple as that. And I go into more details of how it led up to that on early this week. But that's probably gives you, in a nutshell, kind of how it's played out. And I do know this, that a lot of his media buddies, particularly the NFL Network, have kind of defended Mayock and said, well, everybody sends their scouts home. Bill, nobody sends their scouts home. That never happens. Now, where I think people have kind of fudged the truth a little bit is sometimes, depending on how Easter falls, people will sometimes send their scouts home for Easter weekend and then bring them back because they've been in meetings for maybe 2 or 3 weeks prior to that. But no, not every team has their scouts in the draft room, but on draft day, But everybody's scouts are in their facility, except in this case for the Raiders.
Yeah, when I saw the story, and I didn't peel back and look into it, it sounded to me like maybe they thought people were leaking information and they fired them all. But you're saying that had nothing to do with it.
Well, I think there is a lack of trust, and I think that's
– Oh.
And it was – it led to that. But here's the thing, and here's how you do it, and this is, again, what an experience – general manager would do as opposed to somebody that really doesn't know what he's doing is, what's the saying? You keep your friends close and your enemies closer. So
Right. Let's
say that you've got guys that are potentially leakers. You keep them in the building and keep an eye on them. Don't let them in the draft room. But you need to be able, but they're going to be there so that you can call upon them to help with some of the situations that I just enumerated. Well, they're not going to be leaking information to other teams because they're going to be looking for jobs soon. You think I'm going to hire somebody if I'm running another team and, you're leaking information from the team you're working with? Well, that kind of exposes you as being disloyal. So I'm not going to hire you in that case. So guys are smart enough not to do that. But now that they sent them home and fired them, well, it's their fair game. So people around the league are absolutely calling them and, you know, picking them for information. And you think they don't know who Gruden likes in this draft? Gruden's running the draft, by the way. Mayock's just there to, you know, do what Gruden tells them to do. But they, you know, so now they're kind of free to spill the beans. So if they were disloyal, well, they're definitely gonna talk now. It's just not real smart, and I think a little bit, you know, it's just not the way you handle it. But again, that's something that only experience gives you, and I live and learn, I guess.
So tell me about the mind games that have been played, let's just say the last 48, 72 hours. I saw one tweet from somebody that said, definitely Kyler Murray would not be going number one today. And I don't know if that's just a plant or what all the information that comes out, let's say through social media today in particular, or a quote from a GM of some sort. Is any of that trustable?
No, because it's a lot of smoke screens. So, I mean, just from a media standpoint, the Cardinals are going to take Kyler Murray. They're not going to take Kyler Murray. They're going to trade the pick. They're going to keep the pick and take someone else. I mean, they've covered all bases. Kind of like a weatherman saying, it's going to be rainy. It's going to be dry. It's going to be sunny. It's going to be partly. I mean, you cover all the bases. Look, the teams kind of want to throw different things out there because it creates a little bit of leverage. Information that may come out about a player may be negative to maybe affect his ability to move down. A competing agent very often try to sabotage another agent's players by putting out some stuff. I mean, remember when Laramie Tunsil was, a couple of years ago, was caught with that, what do you call that kind of math thing that he was doing, the drugs, I guess,
right,
marijuana, whatever. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you think they discovered that on the day of the draft? No, they held it. A competing agent held it. Well, actually, he fired his agent, so it was his former agent that did it. And he held it to right before the start of the draft so that teams couldn't figure it out. So, in other words, if it had happened, you know, earlier in the morning, they could have vetted it out and got it, but it happened so quickly, people didn't know if this was, hey, this happened yesterday or whatever. So things like that go on. But really what happens is you try to create movement. So, for example, well, the Redskins are going to move up into the top five ahead of the Giants to take a quarterback. You know, and then, of course, they're going to take Daniel Jones of Duke. No, they're going to take Dwayne Haskins. Well, maybe. They certainly need a quarterback. There is a possibility they could move up, but it is just as likely that the Jets or maybe Tampa, who's there at 3 and 5, would like to move down from their pick. And by floating it out there that the Redskins want to move up, do you think it might make the Dolphins or the Broncos a little antsy if they like one of those quarterbacks? So now it makes, say, the Jets or the Bucks or anyone, the Raiders at 4, now you wouldn't have to go all the way down to 15. You could go down to 10 or, you know, 13. You see, by floating all of that out there, I told you the story a few weeks ago, I think, about how we floated out a lot of things about who we supposedly liked when I was with the Titans. And we got the Raiders to come up, and we still drafted the guy we wanted in Eddie George. And we got an extra pick out of it. So this is what goes on right now. Is I tweeted something out last week. It's funny, but we started a rumor one year, just, you know, and it was funny because we kind of floated out there to the media. They ran with it, and within 15 minutes, we got another team calling saying, "Hey, you hear what the Jets are doing? No, what are they doing? Yeah, there's. Oh, really, man? I can't be you chuckling because." You know, you started it. I mean,
right.
It's kind of like a game you play. But it may seem a little childish, but what you're trying to do is you know at this point who you want, and you know that maybe the chances of getting them you can be enhanced if certain information's out there. So a lot of this goes on. And as I tell people, you know, I'll have a GM tell me, yeah, I hear the Colts. You know, how do you know that? The Colts are not telling you who they're going to draft. So, if you know, he says, well, I heard this, and you find out we heard it from a media person. Well, no team is going to tell you what they're doing. So, you know, if you're getting information, it's likely for a reason. They purposely want you to know something so that you can put it out there so that you can spread the rumor. That's kind of how it works. So, listen, if you go through every scenario, well, it's pretty obvious that one of them is going to hit and come true. And so if you create the cloud of confusion, that's what happens. See, when I first started this, we never did this. No reason to. It wasn't the information age. People didn't sit there and, you know, when the draft was on Tuesday and it was 12 rounds and we started at 6:30 in the morning and it finished at 1:30 the next morning, no one was, they'd read about it the next day, but there was no coverage. There was no internet. Sports talk radio didn't talk about it. It wasn't the proliferation of sports talk radio that it is today. So you didn't need to say anything because there was no reason to say anything because you kept it quiet. Now in the information age, everybody will speculate. So if you don't say something, then people are going to assume that if you're quiet on the subject that, oh, you really, you know, like this guy. The rumor is that you're going to take player so-and-so, and if you don't dispel the rumor, then it must be true. And so in this information age, this is what people do. They tend to flow out a lot of things. Oh, they like this guy. I mean, it's like the Redskins. Well, you know, Dan Snyder getting involved and throwing his weight around in the draft room is not exactly news. He's done that several times before. And they do need a quarterback. So whether it's true or not, it makes some sense that it could be happening. But then it's, you know, they can't even get the story right as to who they're moving up for. You know, it's, well, it's Haskins. Well, it's Jones. Where it's this, where it's that. Well, we know they're moving up and they're taking somebody else, or they're not moving up at all, or they want to move up but can't move up, can't get a deal. All those things are in play, so I take things with a grain of salt this time of year. As I always say, Bill, those who know don't talk. Those who talk don't know. So if you keep that in mind, for every rumor that takes place, there may be 1 out of 100 of it coming true. And some of it may, because there's so many rumors out there that one of them bound to be true. It's
Chris,
bound to
be
either sunny or rainy or something, right?
Do you have a second on the other side?
Absolutely, I do.
Okay. But
all
no, Chris,
the time you need.
If there's a drama stream anywhere in college sports, The Bill King Show is there to break it down.
NFL draft in the 615. By God. 888-702-5494. Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. Chris was here with the Titans for many years, then ended up moving back home to Baton Rouge. But, Chris, did you ever envision, when you were here 20-something years ago, that this town would be hosting a draft someday?
You know, we never thought about it being anything other than in New York, because that's where the the league offices are. And, you know, the league, for all the criticism it gets, the one thing they got their handle on is marketing. And they've managed to sell this, and, you know, they've got cities bidding on it. And it's great. Now, those of us that work in football, none of us are ever at the draft. You're always at your home facility. And in my case now, doing the consulting stuff, you would not ever want to be on site, because it's that's where the celebratory part of it is. The work part of it, those working stiffs are in a little bit different situation. But I didn't envision it being anywhere else. My main concern was when they were going to move it was, look, we got to make sure, because I don't think people are aware of this. They might be interested, but there's separate phone lines, extra phone lines put in every draft room that specifically goes to the draft location where the league office, where they have their director of player personnel office that's connected. So where you basically have open lines to call the pick in, make any trades. So there's special lines from city to city of NFL teams. So you know, you can sit there in Tampa and call the Giants, and you can call the Giants GM, the Giants head coach, Giants personnel director with one button. And all that's done in advance. And so our thought was, man, are they going to be able to do this seamlessly, you know, in Dallas or in Nashville or in Philadelphia at different locations? Because, you know, you wonder, you know, you have problems. And even in today's technological age, cell phones drop and regular phones drop. So they have to have plans and backup plans and all that. And it was thought for the longest time that the best way to do it was at the location that they do it every year at in New York. But they've managed that part of it, and they've made it that you could tell me a lot better than I can, that apparently they've just they take up the entire downtown of the city. And so I'm happy for Nashville as a resident there for a little while. I think it's great, and hope everybody's safe and has a good time.
Is it a certainty that Kyler Murray goes one?
Well, nothing's 100% certainty, because here's what's going on with Arizona. They've decided what they're going to do, but they don't know what potential trade offer they could get when they're on the clock. And the reason why you take it all this way, if you haven't decided, if you announce a week ago that he's our guy, well, then basically you take your phone off the hook for the first pick. You're not getting any calls. The Niners are getting calls for all their picks. So by saying, well, we haven't quite decided and all that, they're being, you know, they're trying to be evasive. But the reality is they want to see what calls they may get. I don't think they're going to get enough to trade it. Ideally, if they want Murray, they know they could probably move down a couple of spots and still get him. But they've got to get a dance partner to move up to trade with him. So my guess is that they won't be able to get a deal done, and they'll stay there at one. And it appears like they're going to draft Murray for their new head coach, Cliff Kingsbury, who he wants. The scouting staff at Arizona is kind of equally torn between Quinnen Williams and Nick Bosa. That's the two top players on their board, on the draft board there. But they, you know, may go with the quarterback for the obvious reasons of what they want to do, whether it's the right call or not. That's the way they see it. I think of the two, if they don't go with Murray, I think Quinnen Williams probably makes the most sense, because they're going to a 3-4 defense. So having, you know, him in there, maybe a little bit better fit than Bosa, but both would be good picks. But I think it's probably Murray. If they stay at one, then I expect Bosa to go two. And then the Jets are going to be real interested at three to see if Williams slips there. He's in play, Josh Allen. But they also would like to move out in a possible trade move if they could get the requisite value to move out.
Jeff, too, on Twitter says, ask Chris, do teams ever purposely tank a season or a draft to load up on picks or get a better draft position for a player they want in a future draft?
No, because think about it, and think about it from a logical sense standpoint. That if you're trying to tank, the people that are trying to tank that have to make that happen would lose their jobs. I mean, if you're a player trying to tank, you're going to lose your job. You're not going to be on that team. Nobody's going to want you because you're going to look so bad on film. So a player's not going to tank. You think a coach is going to tank? You tank and they're going to get fired. It doesn't make any sense. You could conceivably have an owner that says, you know, man, I'd like to have this pick. I'd like to have this great quarterback. I mean, you're going to hear that, oh, man, in a couple of years. Well, we'd love to have Trevor Lawrence and all that. Well, what are you are tanking for? You don't know. I mean, anybody at this stage last year, anybody thought that Kyler Murray was going to be the number one pick in the draft? Well, he's not the number one on most people's boards, but he wasn't even a possibility. We didn't know how even good he would be for Oklahoma last year. Anybody thought Josh Allen, who was probably a fourth-round pick last year at this time out of Kentucky, is going to go in the top five? So what are you tanking for? You don't really know what's going to happen the next year. And certainly if you're involved in tanking, you're not going to be a part of it. So why would you tank to benefit somebody else that's going to replace you in your job? Whether you're a player, you're a coach, you're a scout, it just doesn't make sense. I know there's some talk about it happens in the NBA. And listen, I can't vouch for that. But I know in my business – that the people that would have to tank, would be to their detriment.
Chris, tell everybody how they can get your information.
LandryFootball.com. We got a lot of information there now. I think that you might enjoy. All this week we put some information. Not just we've got the draft boards have been up, the scouting reports have been up. We take you inside every NFL team, inside the draft room, and go through their scenarios and what would be good fits and so on and so forth, kind of go over their rosters. But in addition to that, I thought it'd be fun and mention you about it, that, you know, there's a lot of stories up there, a lot of it, all of them you can access for free, about great draft room stories that I've been a part of, or have known people firsthand that have been a part of, that takes you through how certain guys were taken, how Bill Walsh, when he traded up and he got Jerry Rice, the guy he really wanted was Eddie Brown out of Miami, and how Jerry Rice, quote unquote, fell in his lap, and how things take place that you may never know. You look and you see the history, and these guys go on to have Hall of Fame careers, but how other people wanted them, how it almost went somewhere else. You like those stories because you like them in recruiting, and they're always great about how they almost went to this school or that school. But we also have them in the draft room, and so a lot of that. Who some of the greatest scouts, people that you don't have never even heard of their names. I'll tell you who helped build the great Lombardi Packers or the Don Shula Dolphins, and a lot of interesting things that I think you'll love. So check it out at LandryFootball.com, and if you want to become a member and get inside the film room with us. We're going to be breaking down all this spring practice tape and breaking down all these college rosters, all these NFL rosters. We'll be doing that all year long. You can check us out, get our scouting season sale, take advantage of that, and follow me on Twitter at Landry Football, and get the War Room newsletter. That's free as well. So check us out. Enjoy the draft if you're inclined to do so, and we will certainly be back with you soon and breaking down the world of college football.
Way to go, Chris. Appreciate you, bud.
Thank you.